Are you an insider? Subscribe to FC Insiders today to receive full unedited interviews, news, rumors, exclusive content, and more. Join FC Insiders at futurecommerce.fm. Future Commerce is brought to you by PayPal. Did you realize that mobile shoppers spend 39% more time but less money on commerce websites compared to their desktop counterparts? There's a significant opportunity to improve mobile conversion rates while delivering a better buying experience. That is why PayPal has collaborated with 15 Magento system integrators and High Conversion to uncover what changes help and hurt the mobile checkout experience. For details on the program, learnings to date, and how to get involved, visit mobileoptimize.org today.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex is the leader of tax technology solutions and services for corporations worldwide. They're trusted by over half of the Fortune 500. Vertex Cloud meets sales and use tax solutions for businesses of all kinds. Visit them online today at vertexsmb.com.
Welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast about cutting edge and next generation commerce. I'm Brian.
And I'm Philip.
Today we have another exciting show. Actually, show 100.
This is it. 100. Wow. 100 episodes.
100 episodes. 100 episodes.
Congratulations, Brian. I will give you a virtual, we'll clink glasses from a couple thousand miles away from each other.
My coffee mug clinks yours.
And my can of bubbly. holy cow. Okay. Well, I wanted to do something really special for our 100th episode, but instead we're going to talk about,
crazy stuff that's going on.
Crazy stuff. It's not like we don't know what's happening in the world. It's just, you know, how much more can you possibly talk about Levi's going public? How much more can we possibly talk about, you know,
Apple, Apple,
you know, I want to talk about those things.
Do you really want to talk about Apple credit?
Well, remember I did predict that Apple is dying a slow and painful death. And people have reminded me that Apple's dying a slow and painful death with $250 billion of cash.
And, I think that's probably why they're dying a slow and very painful death, because when you have $250 billion of cash, or whatever it is, that one, then you tend to sit it, like, you don't have to, you know, hit it as hard. Like, you know, you don't have to crush it.
I understated it. I overstated by a hair. As of November 1st, of $237 billion cash on hand, Q1 2019 outlook, $245 billion cash on hand, up 3%. Yeah, they're doing, you know what? They could put that in a bunch of short-term CDs. I feel like they could do better with that investment. Anyway, we talked way more about it than I ever wanted to talk about it, because it doesn't really matter. Do you know what I want to talk about?
Yeah, I have a feeling I know what you want to talk about, because it's crazy. Crazy talk.
I've been workshopping how I'm even going to possibly do this. So, the news of the week to me, which blew my mind, you know, what's all the rage right now in e-commerce is personalization, right? And, one of the biggest upstarts and, you know, one of the biggest, personalization platforms that's taken a lot of, or getting a lot of it, attention lately is a company called Dynamic Yield. Has full steam ahead. And Dynamic Yield has just announced that they'd been acquired by Salesforce. By Adobe. By Microsoft. Oracle. It's actually McDonald's.
Good old Mickey D's.
And you know what I said when I saw that? I said, I'm loving it. That's what I said.
You know what I said when I saw that? That was more of a WTH, man.
I do not understand. McDonald's.
Here's the thing, man. I think McDonald's is A technology company that happens to serve hamburgers.
Okay. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. Not from the McDonald's, but if you ever say that phrase again.
That was my joke based off your tweet.
I loved it. Oh my gosh. It's so interesting. There was I was talking to someone in our industry that he was basically saying that he did a lot of work back in the day with a real estate developer, and they build skyscrapers in Manhattan, and they found that it was easier and cheaper for them to acquire an electrical company, and to acquire a architect, and to acquire a general contracting sort of group, than it was for them to try to outsource all of those pieces. And his hot take was, it is cheaper for McDonald's to acquire Dynamic Yield for $300 million to enable all of its programs that it wants to do on the personalization front and still allow the company to function as a personalization engine to the masses writ large in e-commerce. It is cheaper for them to do that than it would have been for them to contract Dynamic Yield in the next 3 to 5 years.
And let's be honest. McDonald's is all about doing things that are cheap. So this is easy decision for them.
Yeah, exactly. CNN, the headline is McDonald's wants to personalize your fries order. I don't understand what McDonald's is personalizing. Now, I understand that like every single interaction that happens in a McDonald's nowadays has data behind it, right?
Yeah. Think about their app. I mean, McDonald's has invested a ton in their app. They pushed it really hard, and actually they've done a really good job. Like they've done a really, really good job with their app in terms of like adoption and, and daily usage and, all of that. Like it's, I think that they've been really successful, and I think they see continued focus on addressing their customers and what their customers want. And so I think this kind of makes sense. Also, think about this. Like, we talk about talent acquisition a lot. This is actually, if McDonald's wants to play in the future economy, they're going to need the skill set that Dynamic Yield brings to the table. So I think there might be a little bit of a talent play here as well. Like,
right.
If Walmart is acquiring Jet for $3 billion and a good chunk of that was just, getting Mark Lohr on the team and his team on the team. And like, to me, this is like the McDonald's way of doing that, which is $300 million instead of $3 billion.
Here's the difference though, is that Dynamic Yield, right, is a startup. Like when McDonald's acquires or a large portion of or invests in a company like Chipotle, it makes sense, right? Because it's still food service, it's sure. still restaurant experience. It's still within their understanding of the world. Like this is a professional services business with AI and machine learning, e-commerce services tooling. And very large clients, right? Like Dynamic Yield powers a lot of really interesting direct-to-consumer brands, powers a lot of actually large media outlets. It's very interesting to me that like, can they be good steward? Like Walmart can be a good steward of Jet because fundamentally Jet was a retailer. It was a marketplace, right? That makes it's a lot harder of a leap for me to understand the company whose milkshake machine is always broken being able to run.
I feel like when Walmart acquired Jet, it was actually not they weren't stewarding Jet. They were asking Jet to steward them.
That's a great point. What can Dynamic Yield teach a company like McDonald's?
Right. Exactly. I think that there are opportunities in terms of customer engagement because, if McDonald's tagline is "I'm loving it," their entire goal is to get their customers to love what it is that they're purchasing. And so dynamic yield is the type of tool that I think can help drive people towards making purchases they're going to love, if you can love anything from McDonald's.
I mean, if you love obesity and high blood pressure and diabetes, then you're going to love dynamic yield. I wonder if you can split test the effects of high blood pressure. I don't know where I'm going with that. So, okay. It's a multivariate test.
It's a multivariate test. Yeah.
Takes a long time to
evolutionary algorithms,
you know, have something that, you know, reaches statistical significance. I have a very interesting, you know, so you already talked about Walmart, right? You segued us into the Walmart conversation.
I really did.
This is a big deal. Jeremy King is leaving Walmart.
Jeremy King, who I think we need to get on the show.
He seems like he might be more available nowadays.
Yeah. Being the CTO of Walmart, definitely a pretty big job. However, being, you know, in charge of commerce at Pinterest, also a pretty big deal. I don't know if it's just commerce that he's involved in there, but he said it to Pinterest, which is really interesting because Pinterest is back in the commerce game.
They're back in the commerce game, baby.
Yeah.
It's like it's 2016 again. People are going to buy stuff online. That's what we're
social
doing.
Social commerce. Back in action.
Do you know what's awesome about this? That Pinterest got there before Instagram. And
yeah.
But Instagram's the one with the big story here. I said on this show, and we need to figure out how we can be able to resurrect clips like this, because I've said it before. Instagram commerce is commerce 3.0 for is e-commerce 3.0. Like commerce on Instagram will obviate the need to have a .com domain. Because product discovery happens on Instagram already. That is already happening. Eyeballs are on Instagram, Amazon, and YouTube, and that's it. That is the new normal. And so being able to purchase directly on Instagram and having, you know, I've skipped right past Pinterest here, but Pinterest also has, you know, integration to actual e-commerce platforms, which Instagram's not there yet. Instagram has a small pilot with like 23 different brands like Zara, but and Nike and Adidas and all of the others. What's really interesting is the world that we're migrating towards is the existential threat for Amazon, right? It is the only
thing
that we have that can rival it's the check and balance.
Not the only thing.
It is kind of. And it really is.
What about Shopify? I mean, Shopify has created, I think they've got an opportunity to play this game as well. Will they do it? I don't know. But I think there are other places that threat could come from.
It's very interesting that you bring up the Shopify name, because, you know, we're talking about, so, right, the charter of our podcast is talking about future commerce. I think that's really interesting because Shopify seems to be the tool of choice for, you know, private equity and venture capital backed retail brands and direct to consumer brands.
Right.
We've had a number of them on the show. It probably is the future, or at least near term, mid term future for a lot of brands existence right now. So I think that that's a very interesting insight. Also, Pinterest, Shopify is a launch partner for Pinterest e-commerce integration, where guess what? The Oracles and Adobes of the world aren't.
Right.
And that's because I think there's a natural market fit. It's not that, you know, you're talking about aged legacy brands. I think that, you know, Oracle has a place in the world, Salesforce has a place in the world, Adobe has a place in the world. But
so actually,
when you talk about the high growth, rapid direct to consumer growth phase of a business that is venture backed, right? What platform are you going to choose? Because that is a direct Venn diagram. It's the intersection of the world of direct to consumer and the things that are experiential that can be shared on platforms like Pinterest and Instagram.
And actually, to me, this sort of contradicts a little bit the point that you made earlier, which is .com is not necessary. I actually do think that .com is going to continue to be necessary for certain types of purchasing, and like having a .com will be important part of your strategy for future growth. Because yes, while a lot of purchasing is going to happen on Instagram, and a lot of, you know, it's just like Amazon. You don't want to put too much into one channel. You need to have your own direct channel as well.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying like .com dies. Right. It's like I went to.
Well, you kind of were saying that.
I think. Well, listen, I mean, fax machines still exist, right? I went to. No.
That's basically saying it's dead. Like, I disagree with you. I think there's a place for your own specific channel.
You go to a car dealer, right? And what do they print your car title on? A ball head impact printer that is a web fed, like tearaway hole punch, you know, in triplicate carbon copy piece of paper. Like, what I'm saying is that these technologies will live forever. Like, they'll be around for ages. Dot-coms will be around for ages. But I think that there is less of a need in the next 5 years for a direct-to-consumer brand who exists more in the minds of the consumer on Instagram than they do anywhere else already. There's less of a need to heavily invest in .com and traffic building to get you to a .com in a world where SEO doesn't even really matter anymore. Direct organic traffic from Google doesn't even really happen anymore. If you're not on Amazon and Instagram and YouTube, you don't really exist in the mind of the consumer because that's where they're discovering you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I 100% understand what you're saying. I think that you're right. I think that my addendum to what you're saying is that if these brands need to protect themselves. And the way to do that is to ensure that they continue to have their own selling channels as well. And I think that, you know, there are ways of driving traffic to your site and having purchase happen on your site that are going to continue to be necessary, good, and future forward thinking methodologies. You're saying that .com is going the way of the dodo. I think that .com is not. I think that .com is going to morph and change. It's going to look different than it did over the past 20 years. But it's definitely got a future, a strong future, in that it is your direct selling channel and you need to protect it and build it and grow it just like you would any other channel. But I do agree with you in that discovery, and you're going to have an entire strategy around this. And a lot of people already do, but discovery and purchasing of initial and you know, that's all going to happen on Instagram, Facebook, and Amazon. And Instagram, like you said, is really what they're doing is they're providing competition for Amazon.
They really are. Yeah. They really are.
Future Commerce is brought to you by PayPal. Did you know cart abandonment is 86% higher on mobile than desktop? PayPal has collaborated with 15 Magento system integrators in high conversion to help close the mobile gap while delivering an improved buying experience. The Mobile E-Commerce Optimization Initiative was formed to understand why the gap in mobile and desktop conversions persist and to provide practical industry insights to help e-commerce providers succeed in mobile sales. Participating merchants can choose from a range of standardized checkout optimization experiments that make sense for their business model. For additional details on how to get involved, results to date, and testing methodology, visit mobileoptimize.org today.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex provides cloud and on-premise solutions that can be tailored to specific industries. For every major line of tax, including sales and use, income, value added, and payroll. Vertex Cloud is the SaaS solution that automates sales and use tax, including calculation and returns. With multiple service levels and flexible pricing models, Vertex Cloud meets the sales and use tax needs for businesses of all sizes. From recognizable brands like Honda, Pepsi, Verizon, and small businesses the world over. Find out more today at vertexsmb.com And be sure to mention Future Commerce Podcast to get 15 months for the price of 12. Once again, that's vertexsmb.com.
When you look at Pinterest and you look at a talent acquisition like Jeremy King, who has done this many times, Walmart Labs, you know, Walmart proper, you know, having someone of that stature come over to a team like Pinterest signals that Pinterest is really, really understands what they need is technology platform, developer adoption. Mm-hmm. You know, Jeremy King brought open source ethos to Walmart.
8 years ago, no less.
And led a technological revolution. Walmart is a major contributor to a lot of open source stacks that e-commerce platforms, you know, that modern e-commerce platforms depend on, including Shopify. So I think that's a very big story. And it's something that we'll all be keeping our eyes on. You're definitely not going to, like, if I were to sit down and like part of my full-time everyday job is to give strategy to big brands. And so I'm not saying to anyone, don't fund your .com site development. What I am telling people is, you know, you lead the receiver, right? You throw to where the receiver is going to be, not where he is at the moment, or you skate where the puck's going to be, like whatever the idiom is, like sports ball. I'm terrible at sports. So you to get to where you're going to be, you need to have a strategy for what 2 years from now looks like.
Yeah,
and
totally.
I think Instagram being an actual part of your omnichannel strategy, and probably a big part of that, is as important as, you know, as like, don't miss this bus the way that you probably missed Amazon.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
Don't underinvest in and discount the influence of a channel like Instagram or Pinterest.
This is as big as back when, you know, you could advertise on Google and it was like printing money. You know?
Yeah, it really was. But you know what? Those things don't last forever either. Right. And
Google's gonna this is another thing. Google's gonna feel heat here as well, for sure. I mean, this is
big time.
Between Amazon and Instagram and Shopify and, you know, and the things that are happening right now, Pinterest, Google is actually probably going to take the most heat. Think about it. Amazon's about to swipe away a significant portion of Google's ad revenue. And let's not forget, most of Google's revenue still comes from ads.
Totally. And you know what? More so these days from things like Google Shopping.
Right.
So people want to interact and they want to have a marketplace like experience where they can do price comparison. I do all kinds of shopping on Google, but I do it when when I don't already have a relationship with the brand that I'll go to directly for things that are effectively specialty items that I don't really care where I get it from. That's not every single interaction that I have.
Yeah.
It's definitely a tertiary experience for me. And sometimes when you go to the brands direct, even when they have you as like a brand enthusiast, you have bad experience. So I still want to shop at Amazon, right? I don't necessarily want to go to Google Shopping to find the cheapest price that's, you know, Joe's no name warehouse where I don't know what the kind of experience I'll get is. And even then, right? Even when you are a brand loyalist and you shop directly with them and they're name brands that you love, that you have great experience with in the past, they still can fail you. Like I was moaning on Twitter because I had this issue with Nike. Nike, you know, we were talking about, you know, having people shop in an omnichannel fashion, right? So I one of the strategies for a brand is, you know, I'll acquire you through a paid channel and then I'll keep you, you know, as, you know, a loyal consumer and make your CLTV, your customer lifetime value, improve over time by marketing direct to you and getting you to purchase direct without me having to spend more money to, you know, get you back to the site again, you know, and I am that consumer. So Nike sends me a push notification through their app, which is installed on my phone. And they say, we're having a 50% off flash sale today only. This is Monday, you know, the 25th. And I was like, oh, sweet. So let's go see what's on. Oh, the running shoe I've been looking at, which is in my cart right now, is now 50% off. That's awesome. I'm going to buy it. And, you know, I click buy and it says, an error occurred, and I click buy again. And I'm like, an error occurred. And I'm like, what is this? So I'm like, what payment method do I have? Oh, it's PayPal. I'll try it one more time. You know, an error occurred. I'm like, you know what? Let me just try to switch it to Amex. And then like, I put my Amex in and it's like, oh, the order went through. Awesome. And so, you know, Philip goes to sleep, wakes up on Tuesday morning, 4 shipment notifications for 4 separate, the same exact shoe in the same size, in the same colorway, in 4 different shipments and 4 separate payments, even though I got 3 different error messages.
Surprised that didn't get flagged as fraud or something like that.
I don't understand that how a brand even like Nike can have that port. Like, I expect that from Joe's No Name Running Warehouse. I don't expect that from Nike. And, you know, do you know what? You know what the funniest thing is the first thing I tried to do, I tried to buy on Instagram. I'm not even kidding. When I got that push notification, I didn't go straight to the app. I was like, oh, you know what? They're on Instagram now. Let me see if I can buy it there first. And I couldn't find it. Like, I couldn't find a way to shop on Instagram from Nike because I wanted to try it. Anyway.
I wonder also if their sales would carry over from their like app and .com experience to Instagram. Like, there's going to be some questions there. I know that I don't think you can do that with Amazon right now. It'll be really interesting to see how like promotional and marketing content flow back and forth across all of your channels.
That is one way to build a lot of engagement is to get a cross-channel customer. Like you want them to sort of operate independently. And so if you want me to buy through the app, you're going to have an app only sale. You want me to buy through Instagram only sale. Anyway.
So interesting. I have another story that sort of relates back to like buying it through a channel like Amazon or Instagram versus buying direct from the brands.com experience. And so my wife was going to buy a pair of Birkenstocks and she was looking around. She didn't think to go to Birkenstock.com first. She went around and looked at some different sites first and she found some on Amazon that she liked. And then and they were like $20 cheaper than everywhere else. And she was like, that's weird. And being a savvy shopper, she just did a quick search. And it sounds like there's a lot of people that were kind of skeptical of Birkenstock sales on Amazon, saying that they felt like they were knockoffs. And she's like, well, how do I want to even risk this? And I was like, well, why don't you just go to the brand site and just buy from there? And she's like, yeah, I'm just going to do that. And so she ended up buying from the .com experience because actually she was nervous just based off of a quick search. And who knows if it's true or not. But just like her initial reaction, like first thing she found when she searched was that people were concerned that the ones on Amazon were knockoffs. Definitely something to consider as people start to sell on Instagram. If you're not the verified seller, or not even a verified seller, but if you're not the brand experience on those sites and you're a reseller or an influencer that's selling, you know, maybe through something, that's something that they're going to have to consider is like, are people going to trust the sellers as they make the purchases? Are they going to go direct to the brand's experience on Instagram or whatever? And it'll be interesting to see how Instagram handles that. Like, for instance, the Target marketplace that they're about to open or have open now is invite only. And so you're only going to get specific brand experiences. I wonder if Amazon and Instagram and Pinterest could suffer from eBay syndrome, where people were unsure of the purchase and started to get really nervous that they were getting knockoffs or that, you know, that they were going to get, you know, even like fraud and other things like that. Obviously I think that's not happening too much on Amazon right now, but that knockoff thing is a big deal.
For sure. I think that's why you have those official, like that is definitely why the Instagram approach is a lot more cautious in its partnership. And they're saying it's like a soft launch, right?
Well, it is right now, but I'm saying once things get opened up, like, is it really going to be this free for all where influencers can sell whatever they want, you know, and, is anyone going to be able to sell or is it going to continue, like, be a very curated experience? I'm curious to see what happens.
Okay. Well, we'll wait and see. Lots happening on that space. Something that, well, we sort of talked about the Apple credit thing. I do want to touch on that real quick.
Do you? I mean, do you?
I don't care about Apple TV Plus. I don't care about the Apple News Plus. I don't care. I don't care about Google Plus. I don't care about any of the pluses. I do care. I kind of care a little bit about Apple Credit. And there's a lot of people who've said a lot, you know, cooler things about it. Brian Romilly in particular, who, you know, was on the show.
It's time to get Romilly back on the show.
I want to get him back. Brian, call us, baby. I'd love to have his take. He's got a great way of breaking things like this down. I really like the partnership aspect. Apple is not a bank now. You know, it is a co-branded card. It's a Goldman Sachs, you know, it's a very Apple-like experience. What I sort of love is the idea. Okay. You want the commerce impact and why I care about this. I love the idea that to get the rewards at the reward rate, you can't use the actual titanium card. You have to use Apple Pay.
Right.
And what will that do to the U.S. consumer? It will make them demand NFC payments everywhere that they shop.
Right.
And that I care about, because I've very slowly through, you know, through my Pixel 3, through my Pixel, my Google Pixel XL, I try to pay with my Google Pay everywhere. And it pretty much works everywhere it's accepted. It's just not accepted everywhere. So I do think that will have an effect in the next few years in retailer adoption of contactless payments. So that's what I'm hoping to see come out of it. You know, it's kind of a crappy rewards program. Yeah.
If you're an Apple consumer and you're an Apple loyalist and you want to just live in one world, I could see you signing up for this. Obviously, that's a pretty specific set of people. I think they've got money though, which is good for Apple. And honestly, I mean, this makes sense for Apple because they're just it's just a money machine.
Yep.
So why wouldn't they do it? Right, it's a no brainer for Apple, and as long as they get a certain amount of adoption, which they will, they're just going to make money. It's definitely a better, you know, I think that this is a better, you know, first step into this than their home speaker was. The Apple, I don't even remember the name of it now. Do we even care about that device anymore?
I mean, I don't.
Yeah, nobody does. But my point is, like, everyone said that about that speaker. I think this is better than that, in that they're just, it's going to be just cashing in for them. It's a no-brainer.
How far are we from, you know, I don't know, like, remember we talked about a year and a half ago about the customer satisfaction ratings of some of the Apple devices that were heralded as, you know, monumental failures, like EarPods or AirPods. And
AirPods weren't heralded a failure, were they?
Well, there was a serious meme culture for a little while in its early days of they're easy to lose. You know, there was a whole sort of outrage against it. I was always bullish on it.
And I think everyone that actually used them were bullish on them.
That was the thing. Yeah. It was getting people to actually just accept that it's a thing that they should try.
Yeah.
I have to wonder if there's going to be a similar, is it sort of the Apple fanboy, like, are people just, it's the emperor's clothes. No one wants to admit that the Apple product that they just got is actually really bad. They don't want to be the first to admit it. So everybody just kind of goes along with it. I don't know. Like I have, maybe I'm just that guy. I kind of want to try it. I love the idea of having an app that is directly connected to all of my financial, you know, information, and having a daily budget that's enforceable with a click of a button. That's like, oh, here's my cash for the day that I can spend, and only being able to spend that, like putting some walls up around how I budget and how I like having instant access to rewards. Those all sound like things that banks should probably do anyway. Agree. And maybe this puts a little bit of pressure
from the consumer. Is it banks that are the ones that should be doing that? Or is it actually retailers and technology providers? Like, I'm not sure if banks, I don't know if they're the ones that should be building those experiences.
I know one thing for sure. You and I are not qualified to talk about this. let's have someone else come on and talk about it. I love the idea and the conversation, and I want to see more pervasive acceptance of contactless payments.
I am interested to see what happens when I know Amazon already has like a branded card, but I am interested to see what happens when Amazon starts to get serious about programs like this. More than just the card, you know, but to build out, you know, budgeting systems and things like that, it will be interesting. So anyway, let's keep our eye on this one, and definitely I agree with you. Let's get Romilly on or someone else who can speak to this more than we can.
Yeah. There's a few other news stories I want to make sure we do some justice to before we wrap up. We've been trying to not do hour-long episodes. We're trying to listen to you. and I feel like we've had some really great insight on this one. So a couple things I want to hit real quick. I think we mentioned right at the top of the show, you know, Levi's goes public. There's like a bunch of really interesting news stories in the past week. One that we put out on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter and LinkedIn, UPS, is partnering with some no-name blockchain company that I've never heard of called Inception Zippy, which just is the worst name ever, to build a blockchain capable B2B e-commerce platforms, UPS of all people. That's almost as bad as, you know, fast food, you know, multivariate testing, personalization. Hey,
I like the fast food multivariate testing.
I kind of like the idea of UPS being in this business, because that's it would be a different player who has a new take on it, and UPS is a trusted name in B2B.
I can't help but feel this is not going to pick up steam. But
yeah, neither. I mean, it's if you're going to choose a partner to only do a press release with and never do anything concrete, Inception Zippy sounds like the right partner to choose. So it's a great press release. But nothing more than that. Also, we probably could have done a lot more around this.
Maybe we should save this for next episode. Let's touch on it, and then maybe we can get a little further in later.
Yeah, for sure. I want to unpack a bunch of new stuff. I do think I'd like to, before we wrap up, mention Rent the Runway now joins the elite club, like Glossier, in female-founded unicorns. Which is companies who have hit over $1 billion valuation. And so earlier last week, Glossier hit unicorn status at $1.2 billion valuation. And now Rent the Runway is there as well.
Yeah, Rent the Runway picked up some investment from Franklin Templeton and Bain. So,
yeah. So, and congratulations both to Glossier founder, CEO Emily Weiss, and Rent the Runway's co-founder, CEO Jennifer Hyman. And Jennifer Fleiss also. So very, very cool. And you know what I love about Rent the Runway? It's in that sort of the vein of the secondhand commerce being almost like it's not even a renaissance. It's like a first outing. It's something we've been talking about for over a year, that it's part of the cultural zeitgeist now to have something secondhand and not be ashamed of it. And that's kind of an important part of, I think, a brand new sort of a breed of business.
I feel like,
and the fact that we have a billion dollar valued business in this space is kind of
amazing. Yeah, totally, absolutely. I feel like secondhand commerce has been one of our top three themes of the past year, actually.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, what can we say? We're pretty smart. We know how to tell the future.
He says modestly.
He said of himself with all the humility he could muster. Awesome. And you know, actually I'd love to, you know, who's a big fan of Rent the Runway and Gloss here is Leanne Hyken. I'd love to get her take on some of these as well. As well as some other folks in our network. We have some interesting new voices we're going to be bringing to you pretty soon. So stay tuned in the next couple months. We're going to be doing a lot more analysis and have other people lend their voice and their opinion to our show. So we'd love, if you want to help us build that content, we'd love to hear from you. And you can reach out to us at media@futurecommerce.fm. So I'd love to hear from you on that.
Just a little tidbit at the end there, if you made it this far. Awesome. Well, thanks for listening to Future Commerce. We're always looking for feedback, so don't hesitate to give us a little bit of feedback on our site or anywhere you can find us, Twitter, LinkedIn, anywhere. And
Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram, yeah. Definitely. We're really investing in Instagram right now. And as always, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else. So don't hesitate to head over there or subscribe, leave us a review, all the above. And we love your feedback and we're using it to guide the content of our show. Hopefully that's really clear. And so thank you very much for listening. Philip, you want to end the show?
Yeah. Retail tech moves fast,
but future commerce is moving faster.
Cue the music. How does the music go? It's like...
That was pretty close. I would say that was, you know, yes.
Pretty know, close.
99.9% there.
We'll make this whole little segment like a post. If you make it, remember the hidden tracks on CDs?
Yes.
Do you remember what a CD was?
CDs, man. We had to fast forward to get to the very end songs
with the Alanis Morissette singing a creepy song about looking at you in your shower and stuff.
Drove me crazy when that happened because it was like, I just want to listen to the last song, but you have made me like skip ahead.
Yeah. It's not, you can't track forward to it. You had to be patient. Just like this whole little section. It's very meta right now.
It's like an outro.
We're talking about
an outro.
It is. Alanis, and congratulations to Alanis Morissette, who's pregnant.
We should fade out as we're talking.
We should just keep on
fading
into the
distance.
Exactly. Future Commerce moving fast.